in our 5 different states we've been going through. And you see over and over again, some things are not working out. So I want you to start to fast and pray. Whenever a prophetic word has been released, there will always be a huge warfare which will take place. And so I have been saying this to you for 2 weeks. Ultimately, this entire election will end up at the top of the Supreme Court. They will finally make the decision. And so whatever recount they're doing, whatever counting they're doing, all of the above, may I say this, at the end of it, it'll end up in Supreme Court. Can I ask of you guys to please pray? And then I also want to say out of my own lips, as I've been praying, I haven't had a lot of sleep. I don't think so. I will have a lot of sleep right up through 20th of January, 2021, until President Trump gets inaugurated. And so I'm also saying this, once that happens, the country will go in shambolic mess. You need to start to pray about that as well. And so, you know, we are in a fight for our lives. I think some of you guys already know what the left is trying to do. They are starting to put the country into a huge amount of debt, all of the above. This morning, Ukraine government has decided to bring Joe Biden as a form of a criminal. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden has decided to do a lot of work in Ukraine. They promised the Ukraine government they will give them $1 billion. And they have reneged it between the father and son. Now the Ukraine government is demanding Joe Biden and Hunter Biden to appear in a Ukraine court. So there's a lot more. And then the other thing people have been asking, Pastor Rich, is there anything else? There's a lot more explosive. What you've seen right now, it's very little. It's on the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more big things are going to take place in the next 2 weeks. Watch the space. But can I say this to you? Christians love to become spectators. God doesn't want spectators. He wants participators. When I say participation, what does it look like? Start to pray. Start to fast. Start to give Him thanks in everything what God is going to do. Let His will be done. All right? If you guys could do that. Again, I say this to you. Trump is not a nicest character. I do understand. I do not like his tweeting account and all the above. But it's a case of either I say the same thing as I said in 2016. You go with the crazy or you go with the corrupt. I'd rather go with the crazy because look at the crazy. I'm the crazy. All right? Because I had every mental conditions in my personal life. I've turned out to be good. Last week, I actually said to you, at the age of 3, I killed 8 chicks and took 6 chicks and threw against a wall. And the last 2 chicks, I actually broke the necks of the chicks. And so that was my past. Autistic, Asperger's, OCD. My point is, the ultimate point is, God can always work with the crazy. But God can't, you know, I find it very difficult to work with the corrupted. And so my point is, you know, Trump has given his heart to the Lord. 2 years ago, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost in the White House. All those things are documented. So he's a baby Christian. So let's pray for him right now. And let's see where God is going to lead us. If you guys could do that. Because some people are saying, Pastor Rach has gone very quiet. Is he hiding in the cave? Yes, I am hiding in the cave. I'm hiding in the cave because I'm interceding. I put my mouth where the money is. In other words, every night I pray for 8 hours. And so when I wake up, I feel sorry for my wife because she gets a cranky old husband. So yesterday I said to her, you know, Gavi workers, do you know, Pastor Doris, government workers, when they don't do very well mentally, they have got mental health day. This is what the government does in this place, mental health day. So I said to my wife last night, I said, I'm wanting to have my Saturday yesterday as a mental health day. So I was saying to my wife, can I schedule an appointment since you're a shrink? Then I would love you to speak. She says to me, turns around, you can't afford me. What hope do you guys got when she says, I can't afford her? What hope do you guys have got it? Sir, I want to thank you for all of you guys for this wonderful morning you've come in. Can I have very kindly the sharing up on the screen? Thank you kindly, appreciate that. Today, I have been waiting on God. Last week and the week before, I've been teaching to you guys over and over again about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ or the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. So I've been waiting on God and I've been asking God, my Lord, should I continue? He said to me, leave it today and give them a break from the value of the blood of Christ. I want you to start to speak about the about what we call worship equal victories. Worship equal victories. A lot of you guys know that we are a prophetic and an apostolic church. Being a prophetic and apostolic church, it's easy to be deemed and it's easy to have a name that we are an apostolic and a prophetic church. And I get that. I don't have any issue with it. But when you carry that title, it also demands a lot of productivity out of you. And one of the things that we find in this church, we speak Sika, Rabbe, Ture, Rabu, Kure. We speak in tongues. Would you agree with me? And then the other part of it, we do quite regularly fasting and prayer. And so I can go on doctrines after doctrines and different topics of it. One of the other things I've often find in this church, which grieves the heart of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we raise our voices, sometimes I find Cody Samuels or Alicia Lim or Jonathan Clark has to raise their voices in order to get all of you guys to worship and sing. Would you agree with me? If I ask a bloke to sing, I wish. Very quiet. It's generally the ladies who are the one who are raising their tempo, raising their voice, and they're starting to praise and thank God. Do you realize if you are a depressed person today? Do you realize if you are a schizophrenia? Do you realize if you are a bipolar? Even before you come up to me and you'll ask me, hey, Pastor Rich, would you please pray? Hey, Chess, would you please pray? Do you realize while you are worshiping, those symptoms and those conditions you've got, it can leave in Jesus' name by worship. The sad part is people will come up into this church because they know Rich Marias is in the house. The sad part is they don't realize within a worship song, Jesus is in the worship song. And that breaks every curse, that breaks every yoke, that breaks every bondage, that takes every sickness away in Jesus' name. But we don't do that. I'm just speaking to you, but do you know, I was standing over there parking my cars alongside with Sean Samuels. I actually feel right now slightly tired, exhausted. Because the amount of people I have prayed even before the service. Pastor Rich, please pray, Pastor Rich. I don't have any issue with it. But by the time I'm come over here, I have got no more oomph to go through any further. Why? Because all of us love to go and chase after the man or chase after the woman. Why not we chase the Holy Spirit? Why not we chase Jesus Christ? Why not we chase the Father Himself up in heaven? And so I want to say this to you, worship equals victories. And so I'm going to ask Aidan to help me out or Micah to help me out. I'm a huge fan of Manchester United Football Club. One of the things I often say as I get older, it's like one of my bucket list. I want to go to Wembley, England. And when Man United goes against Liverpool, I will strip every part of it except my shorts. Right? I'll have my shorts, my shoes, and my socks, but the rest of it, and then I would have, sprayed, Man United. That's one of those things. I don't have the money to do it. I've been asking my wife. I think she's putting the money somewhere in the account that I don't know where the money is. So I can't seem to do it. I want you to watch a clip. And this clip will show you how devoted our Liverpool fans are. And then how devoted you are when it comes to the Jesus Christ fans. So let's play that clip right now. Have a watch on this clip, how they actually sing.
Liverpool, they're a football club steeped in history of spine-tingling glory and at times truly heartbreaking tragedy. But when you are part of Liverpool Football Club, you'll never walk alone.
Look, all the scarves are going up. Some guys who are even closing their eyes. Watch that.
And
Look at him. You guys are laughing. Look at him. And he's chewing gum. Guys, get the picture. Thank you, son. Appreciate that. My point is this. They are praising, worshipping a football club. A soccer club. I've gone for Dockers games in the past. You should see the Dockers, how they go in Fremantle Dockers. And they go, and everyone closes their eyes. Somewhere along the line, if you're not going to be worshipping over here, you're worshipping AC/DC in your car, singing with them. Do you realize that? Somewhere along the line, you're worshipping either Liverpool Football Club or Manchester United Football Club or the West Coast or the Dockers or the Richmond or the Geelong supporters. All of you guys, somewhere along the line, each person, each one of us, we worship. And then here, we've got a God who seems to have actually produced, manufactured, and actually created the entire earth and universe. If I ask of you, can you please sing with me? People will say, no, I can't sing. But if I put akadaka, and then, and if you walk like this, and everyone sings akadaka. Bruce Springsteen comes in a big stadium, and he starts to sing, and he starts to go, everyone is going up. Am I right to say that? But if I, when Cody asks, or Alicia Lim will ask, or Jonathan Clark will ask, guys, I want you to raise your voices. Listen, I want you to realize, we want to raise our voices so this building will actually collapse. But we don't seem to do that. So let's go through the book of Judges. The first point of it. And it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation. Listen to this. Next thing it says, that he worshipped. And then it says, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of the Midian into your hand. And when it comes to God speaking into your life, when it comes God speaking through the Word of God, which is your Bible, or when God comes to speak to your word of knowledge, or whatever it is, one of the powerful ingredients which comes in your own personal life is, how do you worship God? You see, a word that God gives it to you does not happen automatically. Rather, God gives you a small little pilot lamp, and in that small little pilot lamp, and then all of a sudden, God expects you to fan it to become a huge bushfire, a bonfire. But we don't seem to know how to make the bonfire. The only way that I have been taught in the presence of the Almighty God, when you want a bonfire, that means you need to know how to flame the Word of God by actually worshiping God Almighty. Can I encourage you this morning? We get the best people to come and sing up at the altar. The best people to get you guys to really run for God. But then all of a sudden, we become very reserved. I have seen the most reserved people in this country and also the other part of any other part of the world. They all seem to know how to sing a chorus alongside with Bruce Springsteen or the Beatles or Akadaka or Scorpion or Iron Maiden or Meatloaf. But when I ask of you right now, could you sing for the purposes of the kingdom of God? I can't do it. And then you come and ask me, Pastor Rach, this hasn't happened. Pastor Rach, that hasn't happened. Pastor Rach, this hasn't happened. And that doesn't happen. How will it take place? Have you ever, you guys all have a shower, don't you agree with me? Bathrooms is the best place to sing. But then we don't sing. Or we will sing Bee Gees or ABBA or something. Or the other one is AHA. You know AHA? If you're my age, is you like AHA. They're Norwegian group. And one of the songs in the 1989 or 1990, everyone was looking at, it looks like him. He wears a jacket, a black jacket or a brown jacket, and he will have this white t-shirt inside. Everyone copied like AHA. We can copy all of the above, but when it comes to God, I am not too sure, Rich, whether will I do it. So Bible says, so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, most of us will get really excited about the telling of the dream and its interpretation, and then they quickly rush off that he worshiped, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, and people look out for that. But before, you see, the word, God gives you a word, but then you are going to inherit the land that God is going to give you. But between the word and you walking in what God is going to give you, that is what we call the middle aisle, the middle passage. That middle aisle, that middle passage, it's what you and I need to know. How do we worship God so that we can claim the inheritance that God has given to you? This is a missing link. We don't seem to know how to worship God. Now let's go through the first four points, if I can ask Micah to have this. And so I've written, put it this way, before every victory, worship is required. Preparing your ground with worship. Engaging God through worship before your breakthrough. God wants us to become worshipers before one attempts to work a great victories for Him. The remnant, which is you and I, the remnant who does the true worship, need to also be willing to trust and obey Him. These are all the bullet points I'm putting it together right at this time. Why do I believe in this? Because it actually operates, it actually functions, it actually works in our own personal life. Some days when you wake up, you don't feel good. Would you agree with me? Some days you wake up, you don't feel like going to work. Monday, itis. Tuesday, itis. Wednesday, itis. Thursday, itis. Friday, itis. Saturday, itis. We got itis, itis, itis. Every day you can have itis. So what do you do? How do you overcome this? And things, you know, from time to time, I often see myself that, you know, when people are sorrow, people will sing certain songs that they've heard it from the radio or from the CDs. But what if you were to take it, what the power of God that God can offer to you when it comes to worshiping God Almighty? So let's look at Joshua chapter 5 verse 14. Let's look at the greatest commander. He says over here, so he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servants? Joshua was about to take Jericho down. Am I right to say that? And then as he is crossing the river Jordan, he looks from a distance. There is a commander of the army of the Lord. Some people say it could be in the angel of the Almighty God. And some of my professors have said over the time that I've actually studied, it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And so I will leave that interpretation to you guys. I often try not to split the air and try not to give you complication who the person is. But personally, I could be very biased. I believe it was Jesus Christ. And so here it says, now he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. After the worshipping, he then takes his entire army, crosses the river Jordan, goes down, and he finally brings the wall of Jericho down. So what actually made possible for the wall of Jericho to come down? It's the power of worship. Would you also agree with me, when they came and saw the whole wall of Jericho, then God then starts to speak to him, and all of a sudden he says, for the next 6 days, 7 days, we have to get our music, we have to get our worship leaders, we have to get all the guys, and they were just marching on for 7 days. And finally the walls came down. Would you agree? Every one of us in this church has got a wall. A wall who's trying to see someone, you know, you want to see getting married. A wall that you want to see, can God provide me all the provisions? A wall that you might not, that, you know, that you might have. There's a struggle. Jericho, the walls of Jericho speaks what we call circumstances, which puts a blockage against you. The enemy will always try to block you. But we don't seem to know how to master when it comes to the worship of Jesus Christ, the worship of the Holy Spirit. Someone will come in and someone will interrupt and someone will say certain things. At the end of it, I need to let you know right now, worship will often lead you into the place where God has kept for you. I've often shared this story. One day I was driving in my car, Datsun Sunny, which was one of the best cars of all times, I think, because it runs on a sniff of an oily rag. And so in Midland, I was driving and I was speaking in tongues, and all of a sudden this guy flashes a light. He's asking me to pull in because he's not a copper. He's not a civilian copper. He's not a policeman, nothing. He's asking me to pull me in. And so as I pulled the car in, he came out there. The Spirit of God says, worship me now. I says, this is not the time to worship. It looks like he's going to throw a punch on my face. He says, worship me now, right now. And I say, I think I started singing a song called, He is Lord, He is Lord, for every tongue confess. You remember that old song? I started singing that song. The guy knocks at that window and he says to me, are you swearing at me? I said, you mean this? You're one of those guys. I often say Midland will either make you or either break you. We started this ministry in Kiara Lockridge area. Kiara Lockridge is the greatest Bible college you can find. Not studying Bible college, punching Bible college. I started, asked my wife, back in the day, Eden Hill Family Church under Pastor Neil Moore's ministry, an old Kohl's building, a Kohl's supermarket, and the Kohl's supermarket has been renovated to become a church, and the people who will come are so broken to the point you don't even know at any one time you can be robbed. So out of that, God starts to train me up, and then by the time when I was in Midland, He stands in front of me, He says, are you cussing me or are you cursing me? God said to me, didn't I tell you to worship me before? And then as He was about to leave, and I said, no, I'm just speaking in tongues. Oh, you're one of those blokes. And then I turned around and I said, hey mate, I'm so sorry. Your wife left you. For 5 years you've been cheating on your wife. He comes back again. He says, how do you know? The worshiper of the Almighty God. So Bible says, so he said, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. Something triggers off in the atmosphere. Something triggers when it comes to you having a major breakthrough. There is something, there's a power in worship. You see, this tongue was not given to us so that we can catch up with our friends for in the cafe to talk 4 to 5 hours. But if I were to ask of you, can you please pray within 10 minutes, you will say, Pastor Rich, prayer is very hard. Then I turned around, but I saw yesterday with your might, you were there for 5 hours. Yeah, that's easy. But when it comes to sitting down before God, getting all the download that God wants to give it to you, you'll say, in 10 minutes, I can't do this anymore. But worship is very different. It's an ability to get your tongue to sing praises and to sing thanksgiving, to rejoice what God can do in your life. And that's why we practice worship. People often come into this church and people often wonder, why do we raise our hands? Especially new people who come, who are not born again Christians. Why are we raising our hands? But then the same person, if I were to take them to a Liverpool football club match, you will see more than hands, the legs also will go up. Am I right to say that? But when the church comes in right now, you won't raise your hands. You see, worship produces miracles. Worship produces signs and wonders. Worship produces everything that you're asking for. So you are saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. There is a small little ingredient that God requires. Would you worship me before I will come and meet you? Second point, if you were to come with me right at this moment, the area. And I'll put it this way, preparing your ground with worship. Can I have the scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18 to 19. Listen to this scripture over here. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord of Israel with the voices loud and high. During the armed forces days, if you were to sing very softly, they will require 200 push-ups out of you. And all the songs is C-130 rolling down the street, Airborne Ranger, take a little trip. These are the songs. Ask Peter. I remember in the armed forces, you can't sing C-130, rolling down the street. Ask Peter. He was next battalion to me, except he was much different batch. When we used to sing a song like that, the sergeant will say, give me 200. I would say to the sergeant, why 200? Because you sing like a Muppet. And my sergeant used to say all the time, the enemy has to die because of fear. The enemy can't die because of your simple la-di-da song. So they have to, so we have to really raise our vocal cord. C-130, rolling down the street. Ah, now you're talking. So scripture says over here, and Joseph bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all the Judah inhabitants, Jerusalem, three nations are coming against Israelites. Three different countries are coming against the Israelites. How many of you guys know, remember 1967, when the Israelites were attacked by a number of Middle Eastern nations, we call the War of Yom Kippur. Lee Kuan Yew was sitting down and watching that particular war. I'll tell you the story, how Lee Kuan Yew decided to bring national service into Singapore. He was watching because Israel is a small country. He considered Singapore as much as like Israel, but Israel is bigger than Singapore. He was watching for 3 days. 3 days later, in the Yom Kippur War, the Israelites defeated every Middle Eastern nation. Three nations or four or five nations attacked them. You know what Lee Kuan Yew said? He said, I want to set up a national service, and the guys who are going to train, my guys are going to be none other than the Jewish people. So the first lot people who graduated Singapore National Service, all were trained by Mossad agents, guys. So they know, they seem to know. Lee Kuan Yew says, if these guys know how to defeat those countries, if these guys can train us up, we too can protect ourselves. Yet the guy was not a Christian. Let me to make it very clear. The guy doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Let me make it very clear. Just that Lee Kuan Yew loved the way the whole entire, the strategy, the way they defeated in the Yom Kippur War. Why? I just want to say this right now. There is an ability that for you and I, when you are saying there's nothing moving. Can I say this? When something has been declared on your life, all hell will break loose on you. People say to me, may I also say, God never spoke to me. God always speaks to me in the middle of the night or through a dream or a vision. God never said to me, I said to you early this year, that Trump will win. I also said to you, to my words, I'm not one of those guys who's a coward, I'll hide. I also said to you, if Biden comes as an opposition candidate, it's easy to defeat him. You remember my words? I said those words. But God never ever said to me that it's going to be a major voter fraud. He never told me. May I make it very clear? I thought on that day, 3rd of November, it's like any elections in this country. We now know who's going to be the next president or the next prime minister. But we didn't realize there was such a word which has been released on Trump. Now all hell has broken loose against him. Is that a common thing? People come into this church. Pastor H, I want a word. I want a word. I want a word. I can pray for you. You are going to become a CEO. You're going to fly in a jet plane. You're going to have a train. You're going to have, within one day, they'll say, Pastor H, I don't want you to pray because all hell has broken loose. I said, that's the beauty about it. If all hell has broken loose, then Satan must be really worried about you. You see, the psychology in this church or any church is we are often running, we are often in fear and we are running away from Satan, but we need to change the psychology whereby Satan will run away from you because you are a major threat to his kingdom. But we don't do that. So can I say this? One of the powerful ingredients that you carry is what we call worship in Jesus Christ. Before a major breakthrough, before God touches you, before God does everything, sing out of your lips. Very simple. You don't have to pay $300 to my wife to see a shrink. By the way, she said to me, I can't afford her. But you're willing to pay a lot of money to see a doctor. Not there's anything wrong with doctors. Not there's anything wrong with antibiotics or Panadol. Do all those things. But at the end of it, may I say this? One of the reasons I'm going to drop some bombshell. Don't be surprised. A number of months ago, I said to my people, I said to all of you guys, listen, I'll no longer will do Monday, Tuesday, Friday services. I will pick up a random service. That's number one reason. Number two, I also said the reason why I'm doing is because I'm working with my builder and the consultants for 14 Mumford Way and all the above. I want to tell you something which happened, terrible things happened to me. What happened was, about 3-4 months ago, when I stood over here, I stood in front of all of you guys, I had a massive blackouts going on. That means I was about to fall at any one time. And that massive blackouts also was taking place in Monday, Tuesday, Friday services. Pastor Leanne knows, and my wife knows, I had these blackouts. And my body is telling me something wants to shut down. Almost to a point, I think there were a couple of times in my car, I had blackouts, and the car just swirled this way. And I realized, okay, as a human being, I might have to take some precautions. And I can't keep on going the way I'm going because I do realize I'm a workaholic. I work 7 days a week. I'm not shy about that. I think it's an ethic that I got, that my father trained me up. Then Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew trained us up. And I'm very proud of that. But I also knew my body was starting to kind of shut down. And so the first thing I felt is I need to go and see a doctor. But I picked up in the realm of the spirit and God says to me, it's got nothing to do with your physical body, but you are basically getting attacked from every various places around the city of Perth. And so out of that, now you guys know that I don't turn up on Mondays or sometimes I won't turn up on Tuesdays or sometimes I won't. I started to sit down in my couch. My wife would have gone to work. My children would have gone to work. I have broken down and cried because of the blackouts. I have no control. I can control my fingers. I can control my legs. I can control everything. But this blackouts, which was taking place quite ferociously, I had no more control over it. For the first time, I realized at any moment, this blackout is taking place. And so I started to sit down. This is happening for the last 3-4 months. So God, I said to God, should I share the church? He said, no, until I've given you victory, then you share to the church. So I used to sit down on Monday morning in the couch and I'll just sit down and I'll sing all the songs that I know, not the Hillsong songs, not the contemporary songs. All the songs that they taught me way back in the 1980s, 1990s. I sit down, I will sing in my crocky voice. No rhythm, no nothing. I just keep on thanking God. For the next 30, 45 minutes on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Friday morning, I will just start to worship God over and over and over again. Apart from the blackouts, I also had what we call a kind of a vertigo. In other words, I'm just swinging around. Again, it was affecting my driving of the car. And then God said to me, let me teach you the power of worship. You see, sometimes it's easy. Anyone can pick up a scripture like this and then you put it and then I come and spew to you like an internet forum. But if I've actually practiced the power of worship, if I've practiced the area of worship, and if I were to put it something in my own personal life, if it works, I will come and say, it actually works. And so lo and behold, only on yesterday, finally, all the blackouts and all the vertigos just left me. But the worship equals victories. Prayer is one thing. Prophesizing is another thing. Deliverance is another thing. Speaking in tongues is another thing. Raising your hands is another thing. And then there's also what we call power of worship. I like the doctors. I like the hospitals. I like the nurses. I like the surgeons. They do a lot of things. But sometimes when they look at your head, they check everything. Things they are meant to check on you, all of a sudden say, oh, that's wrong. Oh, this wrong. Oh, that's wrong. This wrong. Sometimes I get really, you know, I don't not like the fact of the matter, because you're meant to find, and they find some five other things, and then they'll say, go and see a pharmacy and get all these medications. And then you've got a shoebox of medications. There is one medication in the shoebox, I call it the medication of worship Jesus Christ. Can I have the next point? Can I come back on this, the next point? So we find, so God is preparing your ground with worship. Can I, engaging God through worship before your breakthrough? Can I have Exodus chapter 4, verse 30 to 31? And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord has spoken to Moses. And then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked on their affliction, they bowed their heads. And what? They worshipped. Hey, if you go down to a Hindu temple, do you realize they worship? Do you realize if you go down to a Buddhist temple, they also worship? If you go down to any faith, they all worship. You see, they all worship to their deities. For me, as a half Portuguese, half Indian, having this culture of 330 million gods and goddesses in the temple, all ching, 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 ching. All this music will go. You go down to any Hindu temple, I can't speak to the bloke because they've got this big bongo. The bongo just goes on. I go and ask the priest, why the bongo is going on? We're just praising them. Very simple, guys. Why don't we worship God? When they are worshiping something and they don't even know whether it's going to work or not going to work, but in this presence of the Almighty God, it always works. So Bible says over here, so the people believe, and when they have heard that the Lord has visited the children of Israel, that he had looked on their affliction, and when they bowed their heads and worshipped. God is always to cure you, heal you, touch you, breakthrough, deliverance, word of knowledge, prophesizing, all of the above. But there is one aspect of it. Have you given praise and thanks to God? Have you ever wondered why David often says, clap your hands, all ye people? There's power in clapping people. There's power. Dr. Frank Holgren says, when you start to clap your hands, Satan gets worried because you have just gone into the victory mode. He does not want to have anything to do with you. We don't clap. Let's clap. Some people, yeah, all right, let's clap. You get down to Liverpool, yeah, let's clap. The move is going through. Do you like my Bollywood move? I don't have a vest. No, I just have, you know, just this move. We don't. We don't celebrate. We don't celebrate God. I want to bring a truth. There's a Hebrew word. I'm not very good in Hebrew. Except I said earlier on that I was very good in Hebrew. There's a Hebrew word called shachar. S-A-C-H-A-H, means to bow down, means to fall flat on your face. But shaha, if you were to go to shaka, and then you go a deeper meaning of the Hebrew word, they call it, another three words called shin, chet, hey. These three words comes from a primary word called shaka, and it comes here, shin, chet, hey. And then I decided to do a little bit more, you know, investigation. Sheen is basically means it's a picture of a thief, your thief. And it can mean to consume or destroy or to do pressing in. That's Hebrew word. You see, our English language is a beautiful language. But it just says worship. That's all. But the Hebrew words actually gives you shades of meaning. When you go through digging and digging and digging the word, you pick up some gold, you pick up some gold nuggets out of it, some diamonds, some sapphires, whatever it is. But from Shakar, he brings a word called, there's a word, three words called Shin Chet He. Shin is a picture of thief that can mean consume or destroy or do pressing in. And then I read, you know, what does chet mean? C-H-E-T. It is a picture of a place of protection or refuge, the sanctuary of the inner room. See how powerful worship is. And then the last word, I started to look at hey, H-E-Y. It is a picture of an outstretched arms means to behold, to look upon, or to pay attention to what is going to follow after this. Oh wow. Hoo-ha. That means I love you all. Can I have the second point? Come back. Thank you kindly. God wants us to become worshippers before one attempts to work great victories for Him. John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is in the business of healing people. God is in the business of bringing your daughter back home. God is in the business of bringing your son back home. But how much are you going to do? Prayer is a good thing. Sika, rabe, ture, rabe. Speaking in tongues is fantastic. And then you fast and pray is fantastic. You're teachable. You are applicable. All the above is fantastic. But there is power in worship. Can I encourage you? Here scripture says, the hour is coming now when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must be in spirit and truth. Sometimes when we, you know, when we sing and when we worship God, we just do it because that's what we call tradition. Last week I said that to you right now. We don't want to carry spirit of religion or religious spirit. Religious spirit always suffocate the work of the Holy Spirit. But if it comes out of your own heart, you see, when I was in a nominal Christian in this church, I used to go, every prayer they used to make, it's all been typed out by the, you know, by their forefathers. And they will go through every single prayer, turn page 18, say this prayer. Turn page 19, say this prayer. And I felt it's like a gong. Have you ever seen a gong? Bang. And then bang, you know. And we are meant to like repeat those words. We are not created like robots. If I want to say prayer, I'm going to say a prayer right now. My Lord, I thank you. Out of my lungs and out of my heart, I praise you. I thank you right now. Every oxygen which is moving through my entire physical body, they belong to you right now. My blood is jumping. My DNA is jumping just to glorify you, because your presence just keeps on existing in my entire body. That is not a made-up prayer by some forefathers of yours. It has just been engineered by the power of the Holy Spirit. That, my friend, is not a spirit of religion. You are coming out of a friendship. You are coming out of a fellowship of God. So worship should come out of the fellowship and out of the friendship of God. So can I have this particular song and Cody to join with me right now? In the 1990s, this song came out. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you.
I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do, give you praise. For you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
One last time.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. Give you praise. Oh, you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
One day you and I are going to be taken up to heaven. And you will hear a man will be singing. No rhythm, no nothing. My spiritual father said, they asked Jesus, who is this guy who can't even seem to play a harp? And he keeps on making this song, not even in harmony. Jesus takes my spiritual father. He says, here, he turns around. David, please stop singing right now. Meet my son over here. Shook their hands, hugged. This is my son, King David. I've been told by 3-4 of my spiritual fathers when they got caught up in heaven. So whether you like it or not, in the days to come, when you are going to heaven, if you don't practice over yourself, you're going to be forced to be practiced in heaven. Or rather see yourself in your own voluntary mode, start to sing before God. Because it's going to be a culture shock. You don't sing over here. You go up there and there'll be a culture shock. Everyone is singing. What am I supposed to do? Don't shut up because the angels are going to open your lips up. I brought this song one reason. 1987. I was in a place called Kaohsiung. Kaohsiung is part of Taiwan. Today the Chinese are fighting against Taiwan. Please pray for Taiwanese because God still says Taiwan should be as an independent island and an independent country. I know China wants to take over like the way they took it over in Hong Kong, which I can understand. Then they took over Macau. I understand that. But Taiwan, it's not the case. Taiwan is an independent place. And so they asked me, so my entire battalion went to Taiwan and we had to do 3 weeks of military exercises. Peter would have gone, PJ Andrew, all those, my Singapore comrades would have done this. But in the process of it, as I was a trained sniper, right up in the mountains of Taiwan, one of my mates who was a signaller, you're from Kaohsiung? Yeah, you're from Kaohsiung. And there's a signal set. And this young bloke stopped drinking water. He felt he was invincible. And eventually he then passes out of heat stroke. It was amazing. And the heat stroke took place. We were up in the mountains in Kaohsiung. And the helicopter comes and then does a heli repelling and down. The next thing is my CO has got no signaler. But in my early basic military training, someone taught me how to really do all the cosine. 3-1, 3-1, this is 3-2, 3-2, this is 3-1, 3-1, we are passing this message. I know all the cosines. And then my CO says, is there a signaler? Is there a signaler? I just put my head down because I didn't want to do a signaler. I'm very good taking people down. May I be a sniper? And finally they said, Rich, 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 rich. Rich knows how to do. And the message passed right up through the end of the battalion. Now call Rich right now. I got called. And the CEO says, now tell me the truth. You were trained in signals, aren't you? I said, yes, I am, but I'm not the best. I don't care the best. I just need you right now. We've lost. Lo and behold, by the grace of God, I started to do the signal set, and my CEO was extremely happy what I did. But, the terrain in Taiwan is quite harsh on you. Because it's up in the mountain, down the valley, up in the mountain, down the valley. You go up and down, and sometimes you can just pass out simply because of tiredness. In one particular instance, we walked without 2 feet, no tanks, no nothing, 150 kilometers. We were only 19 years of age. Peter will tell you all this story. Somewhere along the line, and with that bloomin' signal set, this signal set, we were said that this was used in the Vietnam War. And they were clunky, they're heavy ass, 15 kg. Then plus on top, you've got your food pack, that's another 40 kg. How many kg? 55 kg. How much was Rich weighing at that time? 40 kg. You work it out. They love Singapore military forces, but you do not know. Ask Peter, you do not know the torture they put you in because they expect you. When Singapore falls, they expect you to defend the country and they will throw everything. We have got Thai commanders, we got American commanders, and we have got the Israeli commanders who will train us up. So we are like a kind of a fighting machine. And I remembered, I sat under a tree and I passed out. And I passed out so much, I walked away without my signal set. At the end of it, the signal set was no longer found. And then all of a sudden, I come out of Kaohsiung in a particular place. I come out, and then the sergeant says, "Where is your signal set?" And I was tired, naive, and plus, 19-year-old kid, what would he know, kind of thing. And immediately they put my, handcuff change, and so I was going to be court-martialed. They said, "We have to take you to Singapore. We'll court-martial you. We have lost the signal set in a foreign country. Even though Taiwan is an ally to Singapore, they're still a foreign country. There are a lot of cosigns." The Holy Spirit started. I broke down, cried. The Holy Spirit said to me, and at that point in time, I think it's Integrity Music or Maranatha Music brought this song. Am I right to say Maranatha or Integrity Music brought this song called "I Worship You, Almighty God"? They put in a small little cell in Kaohsiung, which is part of Taiwanese military camp. And they put me in a small cell and they were waiting for me to basically take me out of Taiwan and then charge me and then wanted me to be basically court-martialed. All day long, I had this Sony Walkman. Back in those days, the Sony Walkman. And I was playing with this cassette tape and I was singing this song, "I worship you, Almighty God." Lo and behold, God finally says, "You have worshipped enough. I will get your signal set." Eventually, the signal set. I want to cut the story short. The signal set came in. And finally, it was in the hands of the commander. He said, "You are this close to get court-martialed." You want to worship a God who can do things for you. You want to give reverence and respect to the Almighty God. I've gone through a lot in my life. The last point, can I finish this? I want to touch this part. The remnant who does the true worship need to also be willing to trust and obey Him. You and I are the remnant. I was in the Kaohsiung cell and all my mates came out. "Reg, what the heck have you done? The entire platoon and entire company has got no Christians." I was the only Christian. All me mates can come and say, "What is your God saying to you? What is your God saying to you?" I had no giftings. I had no word of knowledge. I had no prophecy. The only thing which kept me going, "I worship you, Almighty God." All I wanted at that age, "Give me peace, give me peace, give me peace. Let that peace will hold me back. Let that peace will always be upon my life." So from a young boy who killed 8 chicks, 6 chicks he actually threw against the wall. The last 2 chicks, he snapped the chick's neck. And then from there, into the armed forces. And then from the armed forces, into the prison.
What do? You are the remnant. Am I right to say that? And they are saying, where is your God? Daniel and Daniel's three friends, and they did not want to bow, the bow of their heads to Nebuchadnezzar, and they torched and they put such a fire, seven times the fire. The guys who actually put the fire, seven times the fire, they got burned and singed. Yet Daniel's friends walked in into the fire. There was a fourth person appearing. Am I right to say that? That is Jesus Christ. That is our Jesus Christ. That's the God you want to go. Let's look at scripture. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 15. It's a long scripture, but basically, when you get back home, our time is up. Basically, when you get back home, please read it. Abraham finally gets three visitors. They reckon, my professors reckon, it's none other than the Father God, none other than Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's what they are saying. I'm not too sure. Again, I'm not going to split my hair over that doctrine. You want to learn that? Come and join with me at Anoint the World Theological Seminary. I'll teach you all of the above. Ask Brooke Dunn. I teach you all these things. And so my point is, I just want to say this, as they go through, can you see, then the Lord appeared to him by the turbaned streams, and he lifted his eyes, looked, behold, three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent and door to meet them, bowed himself to the ground, and said, my Lord. He basically worshipped. And you remember, Sarah was cooking some biryani. And God says to Abraham, by this time next year, you will have a child. Am I right to say that? While she's cooking biryani with the chicken and everything, Auntie Sheila was just assisting her. And she finally, in her heart, she says, ha, 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 I can never have a child. I'm 90 years of age. Abraham is 100 years of age. What does scripture says? God says, why is your wife Sarah laughing at what I'm saying? You remember? Please go back and read. Our time is up. And finally, and then Abraham says to Sarah, did you laugh in your heart? No, I did not laugh. Sarah knows how to lie. But Abraham worshipped God. 1 year later, Isaac was born. Worship. If you are feeling down today, have you tried worship? Tomorrow morning, most people will say, I don't feel like going to work. It's Mondayitis. Have you tried worshiping? If something goes wrong, have you ever tried worshiping? I lost a key in Singapore, a place called Sembawang Beach. My people know. And a house key, I just lost it. It's in the sand. Somewhere in the sand. I used to catch a lot of crabs in that place. I was a crab man. I've imparted the crab anointing to my sons now. Somehow or other, the house key just fell off. And I know when I get back home, my mom and dad will go for it. And I just sat down in that beach and I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I just walked up and down. All of a sudden, the sun is radiating. Something just hits my eyes. It's the same house door key found in the beach. That's the God you serve. How do you do that? Worship you, Almighty God. All eyes are closed. All head is bowed. Thank you, Jesus. To those of you guys who are here for the first time, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you are saying, I want Jesus for the first time, not second time, not third time, not fourth time, not fifth time. For the first time, I want Jesus in my heart. If you are that person, he came, died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And as he died, he's no longer with us. He's sitting now on the right hand side of the Father praying for us. I'm asking you today, very, 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 very kindly. All I'm asking you today, if there's anyone who says, I want Jesus for the first time in my life. First time. You're not making a commitment to me, but you're making a commitment to Jesus. Raise your left hand or your right hand up in the air. And you're saying for the first time, is that a hand? I pray. Okay. There's one hand has gone up. Thank you guys. Appreciate that. One hand has gone. Two hands has gone up. Two hands has gone up. Two hands has gone up. Is there any other hands? Two hands has gone up. Thank you. Appreciate that. Two hands has gone up. Any other hands, guys? Don't be shy. Any other hands? Two hands has gone up. Any other hands? Any other hands? Any other hands? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Can I have all of your head tilt up? Look at the words for me. If I can have the salvation prayer. Can we do this on behalf of the two people? Can we do this, this prayer right at this moment? Let's do it as a family. Repeat these words after me. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father,
I believe in my heart,
heart
that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for me and raised him from the dead. I confess with my mouth this day that Jesus is now Lord of my life. Forgive me for the sins of my past. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving me the gift of eternal life. I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we put a big round of applause to God and God alone? Can I have all of you guys to rise up to your feet before Cody?